New Zealand's supply of natural gas is shrinking, and the country, as we know now, will need to fire up its coal imports to make up for the shortfall. Genesis Energy says it will resume importing coal as reduced gas supplies and increased demand add to the problems of keeping the lights on in future years. The company is also dealing with increasing demand, up 4% on just a year ago, while gas reserves are down by a quarter. Energy analyst at Analytica, John Kidd, joins us now. Good morning, John.
Morning, Corin.
Okay, paint the picture for us this winter. Lake levels down a little bit. We've got population growth. Is it going to be tight, do you think?
It will be tight. We've got two challenges this winter, one of capacity and one of fuel. So what you would have seen on the screen in the last day or so really does emphasise, well, it emphasises both ends of that challenge. So on a capacity basis, we do have real pressure on the system this winter with being able to get energy from where it is produced, generally in the bottom of the South Island to the top of the North Island, at the right times. So if you look out the window today, it's very cold, demand is very high, and we do have plant outages, and that is a challenge to get energy into the homes of the upper North Island, to be frank. But we also have a challenge at a fuel level as well, which is what was also came as well yesterday, which is we don't have enough gas in the system to keep the system whole. Gas is declining in supply, and it is a matter of how do you convert that capacity into electrons instantaneously to be able to meet demand. And that is why we now have a squeeze on us for gas, and the balancing item of all of that is coal.
Is there no way that you can run more solar and wind when those resources are available and build up the lake levels higher so that you have a bit more in reserve there?
So we don't actually have an issue at the moment with lake levels. We're running it just under average for this time of year. So where we are now in the system is that it's almost independent on some occasions, and certainly today and tomorrow. We've just had another notice issued by Transpower this morning for tomorrow morning. So the issue of lake storage isn't on its own a determinant of how the system can respond. It is what happens beyond that and during peak times, which is really defining the squeeze that we have on us right now, as I say, both for capacity and for fuel. So solar is fine when it's all good, and obviously the sun is up, and that is not peak time for us in the winter. The sun is down. And wind is good as long as we have strong wind across the system, which yesterday we didn't. We had a very calm period through the day, and wind was down, and that adds to the problem of how to make the system whole again when those intermittent fuels are not there for the extent that you hope that they are.
All right, so you're saying Transpower's already sent us, well, they sent a note out this morning, have they, saying people will need to conserve, or just that
It's not a conservation notice. It's what they call a customer advisory notice, which is just to say that reserve capacity, as was the case yesterday, reserve capacity is less than 200 megawatts, this is what they map for tomorrow morning. And it's really just a signal across the sector to say to generators in particular, please offer all that you can into the market at this time, because it is a squeeze. And just a reminder, we're not into winter yet. This is pre-winter. It's going to be an interesting sequence of months over this winter as you say, demand is high, particularly during peak, and supply is challenged.
So we know that Genesis is importing the coal. This is just to keep its stockpiles up, and that it will burn coal at Huntly if need be. Talk me through the sort of pipeline timeline around the gas issue here. We've known for a while, that gas supplies were falling. It just seems to have suddenly caught up with everyone. And what? This is mostly affecting commercial users, I imagine.
Well, it is affecting commercial users, but I think that's probably not where the greatest pain is being felt right now. In a normal year, Methanex accounts for something in the order of 40 to 45% of gas supply into the system. And just to remind, we are disconnected for gas, right? So we are a self-equilibrating market in a way. We don't have connection to other countries. We are on our own, and that's unique in the OECD. So when we are supply constrained, as we are now, there has to be a demand response. We don't have an option. The size of the market has to shrink. And with Methanex's market weight, it is Methanex that feels that first and foremost. Also generators, first and foremost. Commercial customers do feel it, but it's more of a commercial challenge for them. Gas will generally be available. It's a matter of at what cost. And residential customers will not feel it because, frankly, they are a very small part of the pie, and it's just not something they will feel.
But should we have been drilling more for gas, you know, 5 years ago in order to have more now? What's the sort of timing around this? When would it have made a difference? And can you suddenly drill now to get more gas? It must have quite a long lead-in.
Absolutely, it does. So there has been a lot of activity over the last two or three years, and we've been following this very closely. There's been a huge lift in upstream activity with a number of new wells drilled. The unfortunate part of that is that a good part of that work hasn't delivered to what was expected of it. And that is, I think, in large part what can explain where we are today in terms of the decline in gas supply. Now, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions over the last while as to what extent the upstream, the oil and gas ban from 2018 has contributed to that. I think the answer there is that it is not a direct contributor to where we are right now today, but to be able to fix and to reinvest from where we are today, it is absolutely a factor. Because as you say, these are extremely long lead times involved with bringing new gas to market. We're talking years, not months. Many years in general to be able to get the equipment into the country and to be able to drill and to bring new gas to the system. And the 2018 ban did go a long way to taking a lot of confidence out of the market, and confidence means capital. And we require somewhere in the order of $300 to $400 million of fresh capital every year just to stand still with the gas equation that we have. And as I say, we've gone sharply backwards. And this is what Ministers were saying yesterday. We're in a squeeze now, and we need all the capital we can lay our hands on, and you know, the policy decisions, I think, of the last few years have really weighed against that.
Do you think if we are to encourage that capital and investment back, we will, as the Minister was saying yesterday, need to provide some rule changes around clean-up after they've left, potentially to this issue of the risk around if the government changed and a policy changed in 5, 10 years or whatever, that might affect somebody investing in the first place. Is that a problem?
Yes, it is a problem. What you have now as a result of some changes that were made late in the last term of government is that you have this equation in front of those that operate these assets. And bear in mind, all of these assets, we have 6 large fields in New Zealand, and all of them are mature. So they are constantly requiring reinvestment to be able to bring new gas into the system. Now, what we have as a result of what we call the decommissioning regulations that were brought in, like I say, late in the last term, is you have this very perverse set of incentives in front of operators where it is cheaper for them, potentially cheaper for them to decommission a field than it is for them to reinvest in it. So they're being asked to put in very large amounts of capital and put their balance sheets on the line against future decommissioning liabilities. And frankly, if you are confronted with an equation like that, it is a more rational economic outcome for them to decommission that field and to walk away from it than it is to put hundreds of millions or possibly even billions of dollars aside into a fund for an indefinite period that they don't have any control over. So there are absolutely rules to be revisited that will assist with bringing new gas to market.
John, thank you for your thoughts this morning. John Kidd, energy analyst at Analytica.